find the thing that you love to do and love what you do, love how you do it, and love the people that you're doing it for.
Hey everybody, welcome to Repurposed. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Teaches Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. We believe there are three components to true wealth. Number one, purpose. Number two, impact. And number three, legacy. And that's what we try to inspire with our clients through our business and also with this show. If you want more information on our firm, just check us out online at teachesfinancial.com. Well, on this week's episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you part two of my conversation with Derek Mount. Derek is literally a rock star. He's a musician. He's the former lead guitarist of the rock band Family Force 5. And if you missed part one last week, make sure you go check it out and listen to it. You can do that by going to myfaithradio.com. You can listen and download the podcast there. But it is really great. He talks about how he discovered music at a young age, and he traces it back to a signature scene in the movie Back to the Future. When he explains this, we've all seen the movie and we all remember the scene, and that's how it started for Derek. He told lots of great stories of impact while touring on the road with Family Force 5, and we start off this episode talking about identity, or almost lack thereof, because he left the band a couple of years ago, and he had been a part of that band for over a decade. And so when people asked him, what do you do and who are you? He struggled to answer that question. And I think that's a question we all have to answer. And then we transition to really living with purpose and impact. And Derek gives three really great ways that we can have more impact in our own lives. Here's part two of my chat with Derek Mount. You know, you spent, 12 years with Family Force 5?
Yeah, it was 11 and a half, so excellent.
11 and a half years. You left, and I would have to assume, because I did the same thing. I did TV Weather for 12 years and was kind of in the spotlight, so to speak, and had a chance to give some of those stories. And it was even weird as a TV Weather guy. People were like, it was just a breath of fresh air. And I'm like, I'm literally talking about weather for 2.5 minutes. I don't know how you're getting that type of impact out of that, but that was extremely fulfilling. Then I walk away, and I'll be the first to admit that the hardest thing that first year to 2 years after I left was reestablishing my identity, because I had been a part of something that was part of who I was. That 10 plus years that you were in Family Force 5 and then you walk away, talk about your identity. How did you reestablish that? Did you struggle with this idea of impacting people not on the same stage? Just kind of navigate through some of those struggles that you had leaving the band, or maybe you didn't have any.
Oh, wow. No, I definitely resonate a lot with what you just said. Yeah. I think that's been part of the biggest journey in this new chapter for me. It's so funny and humbling when you realize how almost every time you're introduced to a new person, they're like, oh, this is Derek. He's the guitar player in Family Force 5. Right. You know, and you sit there and you go like, okay, like, who are you? And people aren't like, oh, that's the guy that does jump splits on stage and spins the guitar around his head and is wearing snakeskin boots. You're like,
By the way, I just have to interject, and I'm sorry for interrupting. Like, that has got to be the best thing ever. Like, I am so jealous. Like, I'm almost 40, and this is true. Like, I bought a drum set, and I played it off like it was for my kid, and it's not. It's for me. And and I'm almost 40, and like my goal is to be in some 80s. Cover band, that rock cover band.
That's a great goal.
That's my goal. And I, whenever I see a band, I'm just like, I'm watching. I'm like, dude, that is the coolest thing ever. And you get to dress like a WWE superstar. And I see, I can't do that now. If I did that now in small town America, people would think I'm crazy. But that's just like what you do. That's like part of the thing. You know what I'm saying? That's awesome.
All right. It's essential. It is.
Sorry. So like people were still, they still identify you as guitar player from Family Force 5. Okay. Go on.
Sorry. Sure. But yeah, I still remember a few days after my last show, I had a dentist appointment and it was a new hygienist, and I was sitting in the chair and she said, what do you do for a living? And I was like, oh, I'm a musician. And she was like, oh, cool. Are you in a band? And it was the first time I just sat there and I was like, oh my gosh, the answer is no. Like, and I just sat there in my head. It was like this this stress factor. I'm like, what am I grabbing for? Am I a session player who plays guitar on all these people's records? Am I a composer? I make tracks for live tracks for artists. Is that what I do? Or am I going to play in some other band? Yeah, I might do that. And I'm just kind of reeling, going, wow, I who am I? And I think it's really scary and really healthy. One of my favorite stories from the road was that I lived in Los Angeles while the rest of the band lived in Atlanta or Nashville. And so I was flying after a show home, and we played in Boston the night before at this arena. It was a great festival. The third day was there. And I remember I was in the airport. And of course, when you have guitars, they just pat you down like crazy, and they think that they're all weapons. And so I was getting frisked in TSA, and the agent came up and she was like, well, what are you doing to that guy? And the guy was like, I'm just patting him down. And she was like, no, don't do that to him. He's fine. He's cool. And the guy was like, what? What are you talking about? And she came up to me and she said, I ran security at the arena last night. And I got to tell you, your guitar playing was fabulous. It was one of the most profound things I've ever heard. And I just had a spiritual experience at your show last night. And I'm sitting there going like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And so the other agent was like, well, who are you, man, that she's going to say all this and like make me not pat you down? Who are you? And she came up and grabbed me around the shoulder and she said, he is the guitar player for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And I just kind of smiled and I was like, oh, okay.
Sure I am.
And I went to my gate and I got on my phone, and it turns out Trans-Siberian Orchestra played the other arena in Boston that night before. And their guitar player had long blonde hair, which I had at the time. And I just cracked up laughing. It was such an identity thing to hear him go, if she knew who I really was, maybe I'd get the third
Yeah,
degree.
you'd probably be arrested for having a guitar in like an airport.
Yeah, so it's just so funny when you look at, these silly games we play of putting people in a certain situation. And I've found a lot of introspective moments of just kind of reevaluating. And the fact that your podcast is called Repurpose is so relevant in my life right now, as I try to sit here and say, maybe right now, there is room for all kinds of exciting growth and change, but the world actually looks so much bigger to me now than it did. As I sit here and say, yeah, maybe I am a session player, maybe I am a composer, maybe I'm a songwriter, maybe I'm a producer, but also maybe I'm a husband to this amazing woman, and maybe I'm a neighbor for the first time in my life, and maybe I'm a son who's there for my parents instead of always on the road, or a brother who has this awesome sister, or hopefully at some point a father of some amazing children. There are new roles that I think are part of the identity, and ultimately, again, I don't mean to trivialize this or make it sound trite, but I for me a child of God, I think that's something that is provides me a lot of peace, knowing that is a big part of my identity.
Well, you're still getting the impact factor, and I'm gonna tell you from a guy who's been through it, and I'm probably a little farther down the road. You came on the podcast, and I'm gonna give you some advice on your life, but
Please do.
it's finding that new identity that you can pour into and have impact. And I will say that my high profile status is nothing compared to what it was when I was on TV. But I will say, from a low profile perspective, I'm able to have a greater impact on people. And for me, that's what kind of got me through that identity crisis. You know what I mean? It was when I could focus on the impact side. And that's why I love doing the podcast, because it's like I can do a podcast and we could just talk about impacting lives and people. And I couldn't do that when I was up on stage, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? But that's what really
Sure.
helped me find that new identity. And it's really interesting talking to you, because it sounds like it's kind of that's what you're doing. I can hear your excitement with these new projects, and I get to help people, and I'm still making music, and I'm doing Skype, guitar lessons, which I can't imagine you were doing when you were in the band. You can do that now. And so it's all about that impact. And that's what I'm hearing with you. And that's, I think it's awesome. And so you are, yeah. I mean, the world is now wide open when you look at it from that perspective. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I love it. Keep teaching, man. I'm soaking it up.
All right, we're going to wrap it up.
I will throw in one little fun fact. I actually was teaching guitar lessons from Skype on the road. It was
hilarious. Oh, were you really? Okay.
How many times I'd be in a hotel on an off day,
Wow.
with quotation marks around the off day part, just trying to go like, no. Oh, crap, the internet's out. And I remember one time just sprinting to an IHOP, and I sat at an IHOP for hours. In the booth, just because the internet wasn't working at the hotel teaching. But what is cool is I've been able to, I think, be much more present and attentive to my students, and take on a few more students actually now as a result of a flexible schedule. But yeah, I'm really digging what you're saying.
You mentioned the faith piece. You know, we could just talk about that briefly. Like, I know what you're going to say here, but you know, how has that kind of played into this role? We can also go down the road. Like I said, I want to respect your time, but Josh, one of your bandmates had kidney failure while on the road. And it sounds like that rocked you guys, and maybe even rocked your faith to some extent. Can you just briefly just walk us through that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Josh really went through this incredible moment where we weren't sure what was going to happen, and we weren't sure if he was going to make it. And it was truly just a moment where you have to have faith and you have to be united, and priorities change and perspective changes a lot in those moments. And it was really, for those that don't know, Josh is one of three brothers who were in our band. Watching Solomon and Jacob handle that, and even them, there were nights where they would leave the hospital. We would play a show in another city, and then they would, somehow get back to that hospital. It was hard, it was a tough thing, and I'm just very, very thankful that Josh came out in the condition he did. And I think it was a moment for him. And for all of us, that just makes you reevaluate where your heart is, and he seems to be doing so much better.
What do you mean by that? Because he said that, he said that in a post interview. By the way, just again, a little recap for people that aren't familiar: he had kidney failure, like immediate. Like, you brought him to the hospital; he was probably a day or two away from dying, literally. And this is while you guys were on tour. And all of a sudden now he's, questionable as to his fate, and you guys are still on tour and you guys are super close. He mentioned after that, he said, we're on stage talking about faith and we're jumping around because of God's love in us and through us. And now all of a sudden I had to live it. You talked about changing perspective. What did that do to you personally?
Hmm. Yeah, it makes you examine why you do what you do. It makes you think about just how fragile and precious life is. And Josh is an extremely strong individual and not the kind of guy you would envision losing. And it really also just makes you think about moments you spend with people, and you never know. I'm very much a believer that life is a marathon and not a sprint. And we have to kind of look at the long-term perspective, but in that you do have to realize that every moment is something that can last and can be important. And I think it made us grateful more than anything.
That's awesome. Last question here before we kind of wrap this up. You have had a huge impact on people, clearly, through your music and the band and just life in general. I'm a guy, I've got my 39th birthday coming up. I want to have impact on people. What would you tell me? What's a philosophy? What's a saying? What's something that you go by that would say, if you do life like this, you're going to have an impact on people? What would you tell me?
I would probably recommend starting a podcast, man.
No, starting an 80s rock band, cover band.
That's right. That's right. By the way, that reminds me of my high school band. We were like doing Iron Maiden covers and playing
Yeah.
Van Halen songs and
I'm
stuff.
more like Bon Jovi, Poison, Motley Crue, and I'm sad. I maybe should question saying that to the public, but that's my jam back when I see. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, so that's kind of yeah.
That's great. Well, I mean, you're speaking my language too, man. I love that. Oh man, I really appreciate being asked this question and feel silly that I would even have the recipe for making an impact. I think some of my favorite quotations, I'm trying to think. I think, yeah, if you, as far as connection goes, Malcolm Gladwell is the first person where I heard this from. It was a Chinese proverb that he referenced in one of his books, saying that no one who can rise before the dawn 360 days a year fails to make his family rich. When I look at that, I think a lot of people view that as a financial component of making your family rich. But I look at it more the richness that he's talking about as quality of life. You know, if I think there's something, there's many pieces of that that I love. First, I'm an early riser, and I think so many people don't chase their dreams because they don't have time, or because they don't think they have time, or they don't have space in their life for it, or they have these pressures they have to meet. And I don't know where we got these ideas. I think, you know, it's like, sure, if you're supposed to write a freaking movie, then get up and write it. If you're supposed to write a song, write it. If you're supposed to start your 80s hair metal band, get up and practice. And I know that sounds silly, but like, I get up every day and write, and those are the moments that I feel like are the closest I come to connecting with the holy. And also the reason that there is profound connection sometimes between a person or something. And to me, just getting up and doing what it is you're called to do is why I like that quotation. Not about money, but I also like that it says 360 days a year. Like, I
Five
don't know.
5 days, you're off the hook.
I do like that. I laugh because it's only 5 days, but I also think that there is value that they're saying rest is a good thing. A Sabbath is a valuable thing. But similarly, I think if I could really only say one thing, it's love. And in every respect, find the thing that you love to do and love what you do. Love how you do it and love the people that you're doing it for. If for you, if it's making a podcast, love your audience, and you can't go wrong. Love the way that you do it. Love the process. Certainly there will be hard days. If it's not, you're doing it wrong, incorrectly, I should say. But love the product. Love, let it pour out of you. I mean, I really think we have a very skewed perspective of what life is supposed to be, that we put these pressures and these demands and these boxes around what it's supposed to look like. And it's so scary, but overwhelmingly liberating when we can step outside of that and pursue what we're really called to do. And finally, oh, go ahead, go
Go,
ahead.
go ahead. No, I don't want to interrupt you. Go. Hit number three. This is great.
I think number three is we got to change our barometer for how we measure success. And that applies to that too. You know, there are some of my most proud moments on paper really don't look that impressive, you know. And I think for all of us, there are a lot of moments. You know, I think a lot of my favorite people in the world are risk takers, and their lows are probably lower than anybody I know. And I think we pursue safety and security, and that there's something good in that, but there's also something that causes us to miss out on things. So we also got to have some grace for ourselves when we're not necessarily where we'd hoped or thought we'd be. You know, it's make you want God to laugh, make plans. Isn't that the
That's
saying? I mean,
exactly right. Now, I love what you said about changing that barometer of success and loving. And just I'm going to go off kind of kilter here and just give you a personal story. But like when I was introduced to you guys, my wife and I were going through a season in our spiritual walk where it was almost like we were just taking life a little too seriously. You know what I mean? And you can do that with good things. You know, you can take really good things a little too far. I think that's the way with anything, including faith. And I was like, look at these guys. Look at this. You know what I'm saying? Like, They're wobbling, okay? And like, and then we'd show our kids, and I'm like, see, this is, and then they're not, it's just fun. It's not, you know what I'm saying? And that was so refreshing. I think that's why when I was introduced to Family Force 5 several months ago, it was just such a breath of fresh air. And I was like, you know, if they can live out their calling and purpose, because I did my research on you guys. I'm like, these guys are the real deal when it comes to faith. And I'm like, look at, they're talking about chainsaws and stuff. Like, that's fun, you know. And it actually just kind of gave me an excuse just to relax a little bit and, you know, just have some grace for even myself, just like what you said. So I totally appreciate that. So there's another piece of impact that you had that you didn't Thank even you. Know. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I love it.
Well, I got to ask this question. What's your favorite song to play or to perform? What was your favorite?
Favorite Family Force 5 song?
Yeah.
Oh, man. To be honest with you, I am so proud of the new record that we made, and I hope it comes out soon. I'm not sure when it will, but there was a song on there called Out of This World that I still really, really think is special. I really loved that song. But, you know, there's also something really fun about the mindlessness of Earthquake. Sometimes when I'm teaching guitar lessons, that's like the first song I'll teach people because it's so easy.
Yeah.
And that was another one that it's so easy that you could just go bananas on stage. And I remember one time playing that thing, and I just got a brand new guitar. And I used to always spin my guitar around my neck, but you have to have a special strap or some gaff tape to make sure that it, you know,
flying works that way.
And, you know, it was early on in the set, and I spin this brand new guitar around, and I forgot to put tape on it, and it just did not come back in my hands, and it's just laying on the ground going, and it was kind of funny because, like, normally you'd be freaked out, but I'm sitting there going, you know what? This actually fits this song.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. Like, it's not any worse right now because of that. So
that's awesome.
You know, I just made my way over to it and picked it up, and of course it was broken, but that's part of rock and roll, right?
Well, again, for people listening who aren't familiar with the band, you got to check it out. And I'm just so bummed you're not in the band anymore, but I understand and I love it that you are living a life of calling a purpose, still impacting people. That's what it's all about. That's what we're trying to encourage people with the podcast. Where can people find you and get more information on some of the stuff you're doing?
Oh, man. I think the best way to get a comprehensive look would maybe be just go to derekmount.com, DereckMount, and sign up for the mailing list there. Because, like I said, I got to get a better elevator speech at learning how to describe all the projects. I got too many things going on. Or, you know, maybe just following on Instagram. I'm just Derek R. Mount, or our Twitter, Derek R. Mount. But, you know, I'm really excited about Spotify too. I just think it's such a cool platform, and playlisting and everything is really fun there. So, you know, if they maybe want to check out Bric-a-Brac, it's a weird spelling, Brique, but Bric-a-Brac on there, or Juno Kids. I will have way more music coming out soon. In fact, I just finished a new Bric-a-Brac record like 3 days ago, and I'm nice. Supposed to get work done today. So,
you better get going then.
I better hurry. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll put all the notes, all the websites, and all the names of everything in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, just go to the description of the podcast, probably below on your phone or your computer, and you'll see it in there. And I'm going to tweet you a picture of my drum set. And I'm not going to take a picture of me playing because it's pretty bad at this point. But I want to give a little progression. If you got any tips, you know, tweet them my way too. You said you did. See, that's why I'm so jealous about you, musicians. See, I'm a big dumb jock, and I think black and white. And I get jealous when I come across you creative people because I'm just not I'm just not built like you. And now I'm trying to play music, and it's a struggle. You know.
See, I think the grass is greener, my friend, because I played baseball, basketball, and football all the way through high school, and I love all sports, and I just did. I kind of wish I was a big jock, man. I didn't have the ability to keep going further, no matter how hard I tried. So I still play every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. We got a basketball
game. Do you really?
If you want to come join us? But,
heck yeah.
But man, I really.
I was a mediocre college player. I was a mediocre college athlete, and so that's all I have to bring to the table. Now I go to the YMCA and play with high school kids, and they don't care. They just don't care that I used to play college ball. And so I'm trying to recreate myself making this band.
I care. Man, I bet you just school those kids, dude. You probably kill it for a while. Triple double every time, man.
Sometimes they get a hold of me and then I have to go and pick up my ego off the floor, you know? So part of the fun. Derek, I appreciate it so much. It was so much fun to talk with you. I kept you longer than I promised. I apologize for that, but thanks for all the insight. Great insight and just a perspective on life. I appreciate it so much. All the best, my friend.
Thank you, Jared. I really enjoyed it too, man. And good luck. I still think, you know, I want to hear some highlights about maybe some stats, you know, at the end of the season on how you do it.
Yeah. Well, I averaged 4-4 in college, so that's
there you go.
Pretty sad. Yeah, role player at best, but that's okay. All right, see you, buddy.
Have an amazing day. See you, man.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this part two of my conversation with Derek Mount, a great guy and a great story. Thank you so much for checking out this episode. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, just go to our website, tejasfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening here today. And as usual, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed.